Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, doubts raised in case of AG staffer accused in Mesa mom's death. Prosecutors have returned to Mesa Police the case against a special agent in the Arizona Attorney General's office accused of fatally shooting a mother of seven weeks after homicide charges were filed. The Maricopa County Attorney's Office requested additional information about the February 28 shooting death of 32-year-old Maria Lewis, for which Mesa Police filed negligent homicide charges against Dulance Morin, 47. Police spokesperson Detective Jesse Macias and County Attorney's Office spokesperson Aaron Pellet shared the case update April 16 with the Arizona Republic. Citing probable cause, Mesa Police submitted the Class 4 felony charge to prosecutors for review March 13 after Lewis was found dead on Morin's doorstep near Kinetic Drive and Reliance Way. But a March 12 internal email provided by the Attorney General's office to the Republic revealed doubts about the case against Morin. Criminal Division Chief Nicholas Klingerman wrote to Attorney General Chris Mays and top staff that, based on a police briefing, he was uncertain Morin committed a crime, according to the email. Klingerman argued that presented evidence does not support negligent homicide, particularly combined with self-defense statutes against Morin, whom the email described as being on administrative leave and an Attorney General's office veteran since 2016. Klingerman referenced Arizona's Stand Your Ground and Castle Doctrine laws in assessing police evidence and recommended Morin remain on administrative leave pending prosecutor's review. Klingerman's email summarized the March 12 police briefing on the investigation as given to Attorney General officials. Morin, according to the email, told investigators loud banging on his front door awakened him around 2:40 a.m. with multiple people inside the home attesting to hearing the person outside say she was armed. Morin said he warned the person at the door that he was armed and would fire if someone entered, according to the document. He described the shooting as an accident and told police he did not recall how the door opened or having fired the shot, the email said. Morin's son and daughter told police they heard someone at the door either punching at it or yelling, according to the email. They also said Morin warned he would shoot if someone entered and told the person multiple times to go away, according to the document. A rock found near the door contained Lewis's DNA. Forensic testing showed stippling around her eye that indicated a close-range shooting, and a bullet casing was found outside the home, according to the email. Morin's gun was a personal 9mm Glock the Attorney General's office had approved for official use, the email said. Mesa Police said March 13 that detectives conducted multiple search warrants, interviews, and forensic analysis before probable cause was determined. Under Arizona law, first-time offenders face 1 to nearly 4 years in prison if convicted of negligent homicide. Lewis was working a DoorDash shift late February 27 into the early morning of February 28 and returned home between 2 a.m. and 2:30 a.m., according to the email. Her husband told police she smelled like alcohol when she arrived, and the two argued before she left the home, the email said. A neighbor reported hearing yelling between 2:15 a.m. and 2:20 a.m., the document added. Mays said in a statement that she was confident the county attorney's office would consider all available evidence before reaching a decision. These are devastating and tragic circumstances that have altered the lives of two families forever, May's statement said. That story was doubts raised in case of AG staffer accused in Mesa mom's death. The next story, Pinal County warns of planning and zoning process scam. Pinal County has been made aware of a sophisticated scam targeting applicants who are currently working through the planning and zoning process with development services. Emails have been sent to some applicants purporting to be from actual members of the Development Services Planning Department, requesting payments totaling thousands of dollars for application approval fees. Invoices feature the Pinal County logo and specific application information to make them look genuine, according to a release. The emails have all been sent from planning.zionsville.indiana@usa.com, which is not a genuine Pinal County email address. The Pinal County Sheriff's Office and Pinal County Attorney's Office have been made aware and have begun an investigation. A screenshot of the email is at pinal.gov/documentcenter/view/28099. And that story was Pinal County Warns of Planning and Zoning Process Scam. The next story, Mesa is looking to offload homeless housing program. Here's why. Mesa is asking nonprofits to apply to take over the city's transitional housing program after the city council pulled back on moving it into a renovated hotel along Main Street. The city's off-the-streets program has operated out of the Windmere Hotel in East Mesa since 2020. The city planned to make the program more durable by moving into the Sunair Hotel, its permanent facility, later this year. Off the Streets is a 90-day transitional housing program for homeless families and women. It was created during the COVID-19 pandemic, which caused financial instability for many. Cities also had to comply with different guidelines regarding homeless encampments. Cities couldn't fine homeless people for sleeping in public without providing sufficient shelter. That changed in 2024 when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned previous court rulings. The lack of support among city council members forced staff to reevaluate what they could do with the facility and the program. The city council's makeup has changed since 2023. Council member Doreen Taylor won a special recall election in 2025. She campaigned against the program. Council members Alicia Goforth and Rich Adams joined Taylor in strong opposition to the program. "We don't think that the city should be in the business of owning and fully funding the operation of the shelter. It's not a part of our core service," Goforth said during a council meeting on March 5. The largest complaint from the council was about the annual operating cost it created for the city. In past years, Mesa used federal pandemic relief funds for the operation. The Sunair Hotel along Main Street and Power Road was also purchased with the same bucket of federal dollars, including a Maricopa County grant for $13.2 million in 2023. The city is constrained to use the facility as a temporary housing shelter because of federal funding requirements. If the city doesn't use the building for a similar purpose for at least 10 years, Mesa could be required to reimburse more than $9 million to the federal government. It would be required to repay $4 million to the county. With the federal pandemic relief funds running out, the program's $2.5 million operating budget would come out of the city's general fund, which pays for daily operations and comes largely from sales tax revenue. In March, the council declined to vote to purchase furniture for the hotel, which could have allowed the city to move the program into the facility this summer. They asked staff to reevaluate the program and find a way to take it off its books. That prompted the city to release a request for information application on April 8, asking nonprofits to take over the operations and funding of the shelter. It plans to close the application on April 22. The city is assessing whether organizations have the financial and operational capacity to take over the shelter. It would likely rent the facility at a nominal lease of $1, according to city documents. If the submission doesn't meet the city's needs, Mesa will continue exploring alternative funding and operational approaches for emergency shelter services, said Casey Blake, a spokesperson for the city. That story was Mesa is looking to offload homeless housing program. Here's why. The next story, Republic Waste Contract Amendments, topic of Apache Junction Council Executive Session. Potential amendments to contracts involving Republic Waste and its vendor agreement and landfill facilities are topics at the Apache Junction City Council's April 20 closed-door executive session. The City Council is to meet in executive session, which is not open to the public, at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, April 20, in the Executive Session Conference Room, 300 East Superstition Boulevard. The agenda item is discussion or consideration for legal advice and relating to potential amendments to contracts involving Republic Waste, its vendor agreement, landfill facilities, and operations that are subject to negotiations. State law allows the meetings per Arizona Revised Statutes, which states, in part, that upon a public majority vote of the members constituting a quorum, a public body may hold an executive session. It goes on to list seven subsections detailing the types of meetings that may be held, according to azledge.gov. That story, Republic Waste Contract Amendments, topic of Apache Junction Council Executive Session. The next story, missing Tempe man wasn't alone when he was found dead, police say. After months of mystery surrounding the discovery of missing person Michael Bain's lifeless body, police have confirmed another man was found dead beside the Tempe resident. Tempe police detectives found Bain, 32, dead on February 20 near Center Street and McKellips Road in Mesa, according to Mesa police. A Tempe police flyer said Bain was last seen the morning of February 16 in Tempe. Mesa police detective Jesse Macias confirmed to the Arizona Republic on April 14 that Bain's remains were recovered alongside Kenneth Boyd Covington, 70, who was also discovered dead at the time. The Office of the Medical Examiner of Maricopa County listed both men's cause of death as acute combined fentanyl and methamphetamine toxicity. This typically means either there were toxic effects to the combined use of the drugs or there was an overdose. Their manner of death, according to the medical examiner's office, was an accident. The medical examiner's office listed cocaine as a contributory cause of death for Bain. Hypertensive and atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease was listed as a contributory cause of death for Covington. The medical examiner's report stated Covington was found in his home by police as they conducted a welfare check on someone else, presumably meeting Bain. Law enforcement located Bain's body by tracking his cell phone and car to a home in Mesa, according to the medical examiner's report. Public records show Covington resided in the area where police in February said Bain was found. The medical examiner's website lists February 20 as the men's date of deaths, the day police said they found Bain's body, 4 days after he was last seen. The medical examiner's report did not list an estimated date of death for either man. However, according to their reports, both bodies showed decomposition, their autopsies found. Their blood tested positive for fentanyl and meth, the reports added. Additionally, Bain's blood tested positive for cocaine, according to the medical examiner's report on him. A white powder, straw, and pipe were found at the scene, the report on Bain said. Dozens searched for Bain, his longtime friend Nicholas Demas told the Republic. A family member reported Bain missing after he did not appear at work, the medical examiner's report said. And that story was Missing Tempe Man Wasn't Alone When He Was Found Dead, police say. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. The next story, where to find cheap gas in Apache Junction and Gold Canyon. Gas prices in the valley saw another decline this week, with prices down 13 cents to an average of $4.76 a gallon, according to AAA Arizona on Friday. According to GasBuddy.com, the cheapest gas in Apache Junction and Gold Canyon is $4.19 at Marathon and Shell, 1571 West Apache Trail in Apache Junction, $4.29 at Arco, 745 South Ironwood Drive in Apache Junction, $4.49 at Circle K, 3135 West Superstition Boulevard in Apache Junction, $4.49 at Circle K, 7138 East U.S. Highway 60 in Gold Canyon, and $4.55 at Maverick, 6940 South King Ranch Road in Gold Canyon. Prices around the nation dropped 8 cents to $4.07 a gallon. After last week's announcement of a 2-week ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran, The price for a barrel of crude oil has continued to trade below $100, said AAA Mountain West Group spokesperson Julian Paredes in a release. However, maritime traffic transiting the Strait of Hormuz remains subdued as regional tensions persist and negotiations continue. Oil prices also dropped this week. As of the close of Wednesday's trading session, oil was selling at $91.29 a barrel, down from just over $100 a barrel last week. The Energy Information Administration said gas demand increased from 8.6 million barrels a day up to 9.08 million per day, while the supply dropped from 239.3 million barrels to 232.9 million. Arizona dropped to seventh in most expensive gas prices in the nation, behind California, Hawaii, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, and Alaska. In the valley, according to GasBuddy.com, the cheapest gas can be found in Gilbert at the Costco on Country Club Drive and Baseline Road, and in Tempe at Sam's Club in the Tempe Marketplace at $3.59 a gallon. And that story was Where to Find Cheap Gas in Apache Junction and Gold Canyon. The next story, Mesa Loop 202 off-ramp reopens after reported road rage stabbing. The southbound Loop 202 off-ramp at Guadalupe Road in Mesa reopened after a reported road rage incident left one person injured and closed the freeway exit. The ramp reopened around 4:55 p.m. April 12 after being closed for several hours following a reported road rage incident that left one person injured, authorities said. Just before 1:30 p.m., state troopers were notified about a possible stabbing on the Loop 202 off-ramp near milepost 32, the Arizona Department of Public Safety duty office said in an email. Initial information pointed toward a road rage dispute that escalated into a physical altercation on the ramp, DPS said. One person was stabbed and drove themselves to urgent care, according to DPS. Mesa police officers initially responded to the scene, secured the area, and remained with those involved until DPS arrived and took over the investigation, Mesa police spokesperson Detective Jose Aguirre said. The ramp remained closed while troopers investigated. The Arizona Department of Transportation alerted motorists to the closure through AZ-511 and social media. That story was Mesa Loop 202 off-ramp reopens after reported road rage stabbing. The next story, Apache Junction seeks artists for 3D artwork on SR-88 roundabout. The city of Apache Junction is seeking a qualified public artist to design, fabricate, and install public art within the center of the roundabout at State Route 88, Apache Trail, and Superstition Boulevard. The project budget is $250,000. The artist will work with city staff, public art commissioners, city council, members of the Arizona Department of Transportation, and the public to create a vertical 3D artwork that will serve as a landmark, according to a release. Responses to the request for qualifications are due April 30. All submittals shall include the following: a written statement of interest, work sample photos, an image description sheet, 3 professional references familiar with past 5 years of work, and a resume that illustrates public art projects it previously commissioned, completed, and paid for, highlighting those completed for a governmental agency and those which involve a public component. Additional details for submittal requirements, key project dates, and eligibility requirements can be found at https://azarts.gov/arts-op/call-to-artists-2-artists-sr-88-roundabout-project-city-of-apache-junction. All materials must be submitted online at the Call for Artists Creative West Cafe project page at https://artist.callforenty.org/festivals_unique_info.php? ID equals 17324. There is no fee to apply. Later incomplete submissions will not be considered. For information about the City of Apache Junction's public art initiatives, including this solicitation, go to https://www.apachejunctionaz.gov/1185/art-in-public-and-private-development-ap. Questions regarding the RFQ may be submitted through noon on Thursday, April 30, to Erica Hernandez at 480-474-5491 or ehernandez at apachejunctionaz.gov. That story was Apache Junction Seeks Artists for 3D Artwork on SR 88 Roundabout. Next, an op-ed piece called How a Library Card Changed the Way I See Arizona by Rebecca Brinkman. The notes indicate Rebecca Brinkman is a fourth grade teacher in Phoenix. She holds a master's degree in education with a focus on curriculum and instruction from Arizona State University, a master's in reading, and is a nationally board certified in early to middle childhood literacy. Please submit comments at yourvalley.net/letters or email them to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. And the piece is How a Library Card Changed the Way I See Arizona. Have you ever visited the Desert Botanical Garden during the day and found yourself in front of the unique crested cactus? Walked into the glowing beauty of the Firefly's Infinity Mirror Room at the Phoenix Desert Art Museum? Listened to the sound of the bells at Kosanti and found yourself purchasing one for your own home? Or taken a drive to Lowell Observatory for a viewing of the night sky? Thanks to the Act 1 Culture Pass offered at libraries across Arizona, I can answer yes to all of these questions. As an elementary school teacher, I appreciate and respect art and cultural experiences and how they enhance my education and enjoyment of life. This no-cost pass provides access to the arts for students, retirees, and under-resourced families to visit many of Arizona's arts and cultural treasures. Act 1 partners with nearly 200 public and academic libraries statewide to allow library cardholders the opportunity to check out free passes to a bevy of arts organizations across the state. My first exposure to the Culture Pass was at the Glendale Library. The librarian introduced me to the Culture Pass. I excitedly chose what spoke to me, a road trip. I selected the arm at Flagstaff and planned an early drive the next morning. Home to 750 species of plants, the beautiful 200-acre property includes display gardens, greenhouses, open space, and woodland trails that are family and pet friendly. I wandered the property taking videos and random selfies to share the scenery with my students. Since this initial visit, my goal has been to visit all 30 of the Culture Pass partners across the state, and I have yet to be disappointed. This program offers people on a budget the perfect opportunity to explore the state and its rich offerings of culture and diversity for free. My favorite place to visit is the Tucson Botanical Gardens. I love the oasis in the middle of the desert. An easy drive from the city, you arrive at a place with so many possibilities. They feature exhibits that highlight various artists and cultures, honoring the need for arts immersion in the state. I recently visited Frida's Garden, a new outdoor exhibit inspired by the iconic Latina painter Frida Kahlo's garden in Mexico City. La Casa Azul. Walking within the iconic blue walls, I felt inspired to visit the actual Blue House in Mexico City. I recently completed the goal I set for myself by visiting my final Culture Pass partner, Tohono O'Chul in Tucson. As an Arizona native, my goal is to immerse myself in everything related to our great state. As an Act 1 ambassador, I have shared my experiences and resources with students, neighbors, and community members. In my opinion, using the Act 1 Culture Pass is a benefit to everyone, and I cannot wait for my next adventure. And that was an opinion piece called How a Library Card changed the way I see Arizona. The next is another opinion piece titled Don't Rush to Destroy Every Public Reference Related to the Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta Legacy by Roberto Reveles, Gold Canyon resident. Like other social justice advocates, I too organized, marched, boycotted, and engaged in personal interactions with Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta in support of the farm worker movement. Like many others, I too am troubled by the recent Cesar and Dolores revelations. Unlike some, however, I strongly disagree with rushing to destroy every public reference related to the Chavez-Huerta legacy. To impulsively erase or elevate either of our public life icons is to further complicate the already ignored and diminished history of the Mexican-American community. Instead of destruction, I propose preservation and presentation of public sculptures, signage, and memorabilia to be housed in educational and museum institutions within the communities that today are too eager to erase our uncomfortably complicated history that goes beyond the farm worker movement. Exhibits of rejected honorific objects accompanied by honest and contextual history within such institutions would constitute a fact-based educational treasure of our nation's complex history. Instructively, Thomas Jefferson's sexual exploitation of a favored slave has not led to demolition of the Thomas Jefferson Monument, a monument that stands in privileged silence while human frailty topples and threatens others of our past and current leaders. To destroy Cesar Chavez's and Dolores Huerta's historic accomplishments is to irrationally cancel the unprecedented contributions of iconic Mexican-American figures whose private lives, like that of other national leaders, reflect humanity's frailty. Let's challenge ourselves and all civic groups engaged in today's rush to judgment. Let's unite in promoting preservation, not destruction, of our community's complicated, constructive, but unpublicized contributions to achieving our nation's more perfect union. As educators correctly put it, this is a monumental teaching opportunity. Raise your voices, community-wide advocates. In the renewal spirit of the season, may humanity's redemptive spirit prevail. As our elders teach us, no hay mal que por bien no venga, si se puede. And that was an opinion piece titled Don't Rush to Destroy Every Public Reference Related to the Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta Legacy by Gold Canyon resident Roberto Reveles. This has been East Valley News covering the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on Sun Sounds of Arizona.